welcome to another Swaz Time. It's that time again. Today we'll be talking, obviously, Cardiff City and the latest and greatest results. We'll do a bit on Frank Burrows. I've got a story. I'm sure Dan has got a story or two to tell on that also. And we'll be talking about, you know, where we are as a club, what we're going to do in future, the hierarchy, the short, mid, long-term plans for the future. Because it's all relative and it's all needed. So we need to know where we're going as a club in future. I've got some good news as well at the end, I have to say. Because I think we've got the remnants of a very, very good young squad. I believe, anyway.
I thought you were going to get every listener a Christmas present then, Nath.
Oh, I'm not. Listen, just because I got the big grey beard, it doesn't qualify me for Santa Claus, Daniel. Okay? So listen, a big shout out to our sponsor, as usual, Jeff White Motors. Established in 1989, they have over 500 cars in stock, with all 500 cars situated in one location and with great parking facilities. So get yourselves down there if you're looking for a little rev for the kids for Christmas or the wife, a little run around or a little Ferrari for yourself. Get yourselves down there. Or alternatively, go to his website, jeffwhitemotors.co.uk, and I'm sure you'll pick up a nice little bargain, son. All right, Governor.
Nate, do you want to tell everybody what you were up to last night, why you're a little bit tired this morning? Because I think...
I am so tired, Dan.
Can you
feel
tell
like a
tired
feather could blow me over. Yes. My voice is... excuse me. My voice is a bit extra croaky. And that's because even though I must have had 9 hours sleep last night, I still feel I need another 9 hours, Dan. I've started back training with my boys. So the 50-somethings are getting back into shape. But the problem is, my mate Kev Rev, my best mate, he wants to train us like we're 20-somethings. So just as I recovered from Friday's session, going into yesterday thinking, I'll be great, you know, I feel fine. Mate, I woke up this morning, well, last night, I couldn't eat when I got back from the gym. I'm just so tired, just wanted to sleep, honestly.
Like pre-season under Frank Burrows, maybe.
That's exactly what I said to him. It's like a pre-season session. I mean, we're doing about an hour and a half, but, mate, listen, getting back in the shape after the COVID as well, because, you know, like it lingers in you, right? So, and what we're doing is a lot of endurance based. So it's building that endurance before we start going into the shorter, sharper stuff. But,
We've got a really talented young squad that we're going to talk about. But what they could do with is an older head alongside them to unlock that defence. We're having all this possession now, but can't always find the killer pass. Nath, if you're back in shape, I think you want to be getting those boots over your shoulder in your boot bag, knocking on Steve Morrison's door and saying, Steve, Blakey's back, baby. This is...
Blakey's back. I think he'd probably have kittens if he sees me knocking his door, Dan. That's to be fair. He might think I was coming for him or something. I'd be like, no, it's just a game of football. So anyway, remember, we're at Swaz Pod on the Twitter, the Facebook. So remember to like, love, share, comment, and most of all, subscribe. So how are we doing, gents? You okay?
Go on, Brand. How are you doing, mate?
Brandon?
I'll start. Yeah, not too
nice,
bad.
Nice new hairstyle, Brand. Nice.
Thanks. You know me, I like to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Never stay the same.
You like that?
Never stay
you
the
like
same.
You like that, Dan?
Well, it's a shame.
What do you think, Dan?
It's very fresh. It's a shame the listeners can't see it. So I'm trying to think which footballer they might, who could I...
Oh, no one's got hair like me, Dan.
No, I don't think they do. There's no footballer I could from Cardiff City history, maybe like... I don't know, like a Richard Langley look, maybe.
I can see Nathan trying to think of someone.
I am trying to think of someone.
I can see him thinking it's very hard.
He's got plaits like dreadlocks, put that way.
Two-strand twist is what they call it, is the name. But yeah, I'm good. Nice to see Cardiff pick up a couple of wins. And I'm not going to lie, the past two Saturdays has been the best Saturdays all year.
Yeah. So listen, let's get into it then. Steve Morrison, Mark Hudson, overwhelming support online for those guys. And 3 wins in the last 5. Listen, off the back of, what was it, 1 draw in 10, was it? Something like that? So ridiculous. They most certainly, they've got the negative wheel stopped and they're moving forward, right? They're churning the other way. And great video, by the way, Dan, you put up by the Letwith Mole. The headed goal by Morrison, the winner. And also just the singing and chanting. And I just said, like, you know, that's us after one, where we are in the league, right? 1 win, right? Or our 3rd win in 5 games, like I've said. But we've not been in great form, right? We're still very patchy. And the fans were singing like we're top of the league. So I'm like, it took me back to like going to Scunthorpe on the last day of the season, right? And I don't know how many of the Cardiff fans, the youngsters obviously would have experienced it. Sean Morrison has seen it. But you know, when you're successful at Cardiff, they got a proper army, you know. It's a proper, proper army that go all over. And will. I think it's partly because it's Welsh, right? We're Welsh and we're going into the Lions Den more often than not, right, in England. But I say to people, if you see our fans when we're successful, they're second to none. I'm telling you now, they are second to none. So that for me, just it gave me like the old tingles of hair up the back, right? Them singing like, and you put like, I wish I was still.
Yeah.
Well, so this was.
So this was.
I wish I was still doing that.
Well, I wish I was still single and could do what I wanted. So listen, this was a video I sent the boys on Saturday. That the Letwith Mole shared it. I can't remember who did the original video with. What's known in common parlance as limbs when Morrison scores in front of the fans. You know, a bit of a redemption moment for Morrison. He's been out of the team, but we know that he always comes good. And I saw stats. Morrison, in the 300-odd games he's played for us, or 200-odd games he's played for us, has scored 33 goals and got 23 assists. Like, wow, unbelievable. But he's proper Cardiff player, isn't he? He's hard, he's passionate, he gets stuck in. He makes the odd mistake, but he comes back fighting all the time. And look, those away days, that was in stark comparison, really, to the Hull game where boos rang out at half-time. Boos ran out at the end. You know, look, I would say some of the boos at the end of the game against Hull were for the ref because the majority of the noise is coming from the Canton stand. We were attacking that end. Aidan Flint was being manhandled by the Hull defenders. He's keeps trying to show the ref. The ref's giving us nothing. It hypes the crowd up. The crowd's getting on the ref's back. But, it, you know, undoubtedly there were boos for the team as well. And, you know, Morrison comes out and says he can't understand it. We're all trying to pull in the same direction here. And that's a stark difference to what the fans are like away. Now, look, when you're going away, when you're part of that army going to follow the team away, and look, I wasn't at Luton on Saturday, but I've got a 3-year-old and a 4-month-old now, so it's tough for me to get to away games at the moment, but I'll be back, give it a year or two. But I've been to pretty much every ground in the country following City. You know, I've got my stripes. And it's a different day, you know. You're with your mates. You probably, if that's your thing, start drinking really early doors. You're just looking for an escape. You're looking for a day out. So you're already up for supporting the team. You feel like the world's against you because you're in a little corner of a ground somewhere, particularly somewhere like Kenilworth Road. You know, it's an old ground, yeah. So you get behind the team more because that's what we do. You know, when you see away fans come to Cardiff City Stadium, they don't always get behind the team. They're often quiet.
No, they don't sing.
No.
They rarely sing. Mm. They'll sing when they win or when they score, but that's it.
Couldn't agree more.
Not the case for Cardiff fans. So look, players, youngsters won't have seen that. And if we can build up a head of steam, and we're probably not at the moment because the form is patchy. You know, we've lost 2 home games. Particularly that Hull game sticks as well, because it's a game that we needed to win.
The Hull game for me was, I commentated, and I haven't seen as much this season, I'll be honest with you, or not enough. And I've said, it got to the point on the mic where, you know, it was like watching your mate getting beat up by 2 guys and not stepping in. Like, you just sat back, there's nothing you can do, and it becomes so so frustrating that it starts to churn your stomach, right? And it started to like do my head in. So I haven't seen as much, but the whole game, I said on cans, you know, I've seen that performance for the last 5 years. You don't play football enough. You get to the point of the opposition then dropping, scoring a goal, dropping off last 10 minutes, which is what we want them to do because we don't play through lines and we don't get in behind people enough. But if they drop off, what happens is we resort back to type then. And I think that's what happened against Luton, right? Is the talk had been, we're playing a lot better football. But then when we go a goal down and we're chasing the game, we revert back to type. We revert back to relying on just putting the ball in the box, long throw-ins, free kicks, you know, just absolutely peppering their box and hoping they crack. Well, the chance came. We hit the post, I think it was Collins, hit the post.
Yeah, he hit the post.
And then we end up losing, right? So a couple of boos rang out. I understood the frustration from the fans about the referee because I thought he had a bang average game. And I also understood the frustration when there was the whole player down and he could have rolled off the pitch, literally.
Yeah.
And the ref should have said to him, move off the pitch to keep the momentum in the game. It's obvious what he was doing, and that was like sending the fans loopy, right? So I think there was
in front of the cannon.
Right. So I think there was a combination of things why the fans got frustrated. But for me, I didn't see no improvement in the performance, which was disappointing because clearly there must be some improvement in performance because you started picking up wins. You know, Preston was a great win. And a great confidence booster. It's not the type of result you just... We always seem to struggle up there, right? That's a bit of a bogey ground for us. So I thought that was a great win. And then, you know, Luton, Kenilworth, it's a tough place to go. Horrible place to go, really and truly. Plenty of positives come out of there. But we are still going to chuck in. For me, we're not nowhere near where we need to be. But like I said, the wheels are starting to move in the right direction, right? We are now, okay, from our form being one draw in 10 games, we've won 3 in the last 5. You know, that is a stark contrast, right, to what we were being served up. So, you know, long may it continue.
So here's some stats for you. And like, we're not generally, you know, we talk more with passion than statistics generally on this podcast. But I thought it'd be interesting. So Morrison's first 6 games, 3 wins, 2 defeats and 1 draw. So patchy, but a lot better than what went before. Looking at the 2 previous managers in their first 11 games, because we're going to talk today about getting to the end of this year. So the next 5 games will be 11 games for Morrison. So McCarthy had 7 wins and 4 draws in the first 11 games. Neil Harris, 4 wins, 5 draws and 2 defeats in the first 11. And we're currently now with Morrison, 3 wins, 2 defeats. So more defeats than McCarthy clearly and equal to Harris already and 1 draw. So look, he might not results-wise get off to a start like McCarthy, or even a start like Harris. Hopefully we can get close to those
Harris. You don't want a start like McCarthy if it ends like McCarthy.
Those Harris stats.
But they had different squads, but
this
though,
is,
didn't
this
they?
Is, and the this
thing.
Is the thing.
They came with
different
jobs.
There is this, you know, McCarthy comes in when we're under pressure. Harris came in, you know, we weren't as far down the table under Warnock, I'd say, but again, a different style. Harris potentially tried to change the style a little bit, but... You know, we've talked about a change of style. We've spoke about philosophy a lot. We spoke about getting youngsters through. And whether or not it's because what Steve Morrison believes, or he's got a gun to a head or this to his head with the youngsters, or he knows them and this opportunity has just fallen on his lap. And I think it's a combination of all of those things. And we'll probably see a bit more in January where, you know, does he get funds? What types of players does he bring through? Do we see as much of the youngsters as we're seeing now? The style has changed to a certain extent, in terms of things like number of passes, pass success. But no doubt that Hull game, we got 1-0 down early doors And yeah, you know, you can make all the passes you want. And I think Morrison came out and said most passes for X years, which probably would have been under Harris or even Trollope, pass success rate up there. But there was nobody to break the lines in that game apart from Davis, maybe, who goes off. And
yeah, he was the only one. It was so frustrating to watch. And you could see Isaac Davis, every time he had the ball in his field, he's running in behind. And I think that's why he made such a difference when Riles came on.
Yeah.
Because when you had Volks and Pack just sitting there, they just getting the ball and they just couldn't. You seen Pack try a couple of times, but he gave away the ball about three times when he was going for that long pass.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can see Isaac Davis running. I felt a bit sorry for him when he came off.
Mm, yeah.
Because I thought he was the only one really working in that.
He was our best.
Just trying to get him behind.
He was our best player.
I agree.
He was our best player. And I think that the stats, like they can tell 1,000 lies or 1,000 truths, Dan, right? And what I would say, listen, you support, you've heard me say plenty of times, right? It doesn't matter if a little green man from space turns out to be Cardiff City manager. You support the manager, right? I don't care who it is. You support the manager. But your critique doesn't mean you're having a go. Your critique sometimes might help the manager see something that he hasn't seen, right? So you critically analyse the game, but then you analyse the good things we've done. Now, the reason why I would say our passes, watching us against Hull, why our pass stats have improved is because we're now switching the ball across the back three, across the back, far more. So we are gaining, you will gain more passes. It's when you get into that midfield three and that front three is the problem. Right? So what happens, what I've seen happen against Hull was Pack, Volks and Bakuna don't want to go and get the ball off the centre halves. There's too many times where Marlon Pack could have just stopped his run and let the striker run past him or the midfielder run past him. Just stop and get the ball. Might be 6-7 yards. Just get the ball, turn and pass it, pop it into Volks. And then Volks try and round the corner into the big man and then wide. We've got to start making those passes. And they're not actually telling passes, they're building passes. But they have to start going into that midfield with that ball. But that's where your creativity comes into play. And Brandon hit the nail on the head a couple of times. Pack switched the pass or made a long pass and it was to nobody, right? There wasn't even people running. He'd done the same and again in the second half when he switched one ball out to the left-hand side. There was no one there, right? Nobody, no one near it. And the fans threw up their arms and then he went back into his shell, right? And I always say, listen, you've got to be brave. You've got to say, listen, if I missed that pass three times, listen, I'll hit to the fourth. That is, you can't change what's already gone. You can affect.
I think with the fans in that whole game, I think it was just, it was the negativity of the players. Just when it wasn't positive at all. And the frustration, I was right in the Canton stand and I was right beyond the goal. And the frustration, you could feel it. And like you said earlier, it made your stomach churn. Like, yeah. And I could feel it, everyone in there. It was just,
well,
it was horrible.
I think it's because you've been down for so long and then a bit of positivity thing. People hear, oh, we passed the ball better. Now, listen, I'll say to the fans, you can get carried away. Right, that's the whole idea of this game, right? Me, I'm going to analyse. I'm going to say, right, we can improve there. That needs to be better. That needs to be better because that has to be done also. But as fans, listen, jingle bells, Cardiff win away. That's what I love to hear, right? That is the final of the pre-planning. So the pre-planning all week, you then have the game, the results, and Cardiff fans go home singing and dancing, happy as Larry, right? And the hope is growing and growing and anticipation is growing and growing. But listen, we are improved because we were so poor. But where we've improved to isn't at the moment going to get us like in the top six, right? It's just getting us some breathing space first and foremost out of that relegation zone, get into the mids of the table. That's our first sort of task. Get into the middle table, get a bit of comfort in January. January, I don't think there'll be funds, but I do think you might get a few loans, right? I think that will be required. And if you're going to start to change the style of play, you have to start looking at, right, well, end of the year, we've got 12 players out of contract. We do need to start looking at bringing in, I would be thinking to myself now, I want to bring in the style of player that I want us to become, the next stage, right? So if I can get a couple in on loan, they will reflect the sort of football that we're going to play. Because the youngsters, the problem for me is the youngsters have played football and probably brought up playing football a certain way from they were 8 or 9 years old. They get to the first team, they made it. You've made it, yes. And then all of a sudden, how this team is playing is totally alien to what you've ever known. Right? I think even like young Colwell, he seems to be growing and getting better and better. But imagine him in a team that played football. Right? Imagine him in a team that played football. You know, young Isaac, imagine him in a team that played football. You've got, with these kids and blooding them so young, you're getting, in another 2 years, you'll have options left, right and centre. It's for them kids to make sure they keep at it and keep growing and keep getting better, right? That comes down to coaching as well and how you play and confidence. But, you know, listen, we'll touch on it later, but we got a very, very good crop of youngsters and probably, no doubt, there's probably 2 or 3 more in that academy that we're not yet aware of, right? So, listen, things are good, but I would say to the hierarchy, you have to stop this sort of falling into situations. You know, this is not a plan, Steve Morrison, Mark Hudson. We've tripped into it again. Do you know what I mean? I would say from here now, give them boys some backing, right? And start the build. But have your short, mid, long-term plan. Where do you want to be? You know, if you want out of the club, put the club up for sale and move on, right? But if not, you can't starve it of money as much as it's cost you in order to maintain, you know, progression and moving forward. You have to feed it. If you don't water a flower, you know what happens, right? And in this league, going to the Premier League especially, listen, you'll just get eaten up. So, you know, some good positives for me, I think. But also, you know, we are a long way from where we need to be football-wise, but it has improved because under Mick, we just went, didn't we? We just gone.
We're on a journey, aren't we? I was just going to say that the Luton game, obviously, which is the most recent game, great away win. We score a goal in the first half, which we hadn't done all season, remarkably. Probably our most complete performance under Morrison, because, you know, even the games against Preston and Huddersfield, which we'd won previously, Stoke, where we come back.
Back to the wall, wasn't it? Yeah.
You know, Preston, we could have been 4-0 down in the first 20 minutes. Huddersfield, we were poor until really probably Isaac Davis comes on and plays a big hand in those two goals. You know, this was maybe the most complete performance, getting a goal early. But, you know, Morrison in that press conference talking rightfully about how he's changing the style. He's done it without any time on the training pitch, really. Radical change in style in terms of success rate of passes and number of passes. Luton, they were right back down again because, you know, they were McCarthy levels, 60%, 61%, I think, pass success, 107%.
And that's going to happen, right? Yeah, when you're trying to transition, you are going to go 2 steps forward, 1 step back, 1 step forward, 2 steps back. But listen, I'm cool with that. Honestly, you know, this transition now, I don't care till the end of the season. As long as we don't go down, right? And you can start to see where we're going. Right? And that's what I'm saying, Dan. It's all part of a plan. You can't just, if you're the hierarchy, don't just sit there and go, oh, great, we got 3 wins out of 5. Yeah, thank God. Whew, we're done. Right? Yeah. Mate, there's so much shit in work that needs to be done. Right, you've got to. They have actually got the. What they should be doing is liaising with Steve Morrison, liaising with Mark Hudson, right? Putting in place your recruitment staff. You know, your scouting. You know, scouting, I say, is within, right? Scout, you scout from, you know, your under 23s, your 18s, right? Your 16s. You look down there for who needs to be scouted and move forward and moved higher and playing up or whatever. Your recruitment is a different bag. That's outside of the club. That's going into Europe. That's going into Africa. That's going into America. That's going into Russia. It's having those links, those contacts, you know, finding, unearthing those rough diamonds. But, you know, with Vincent Tan, with business and his contacts, You get into those countries, first and foremost, that you know. Malaysia, we should have a good academy, and by now, 10 years, 11 years deep, we should have had a player from our Malaysian academy into Cardiff City playing by now, in my opinion. But it's not, listen, football's not, it's a game that you play, but it's no game off the pitch, you know. It's a serious, serious thing. Mm. And you got to be, listen, you got to, even when you're sleeping, your phone got to be in your hand ready to work. Because you just never know when the next bargain's coming along, the next rough diamond's coming along. You got to be there and you've got to be scouting constantly, right? I watch games with BBC. I scout every team, look to, not recruit, but scout players from every team we play against. Well, I see us play against. Newport, down in League Two. You know, pick those rough diamonds up from the lower leagues and put them in at championship level. Give them a bit of time to blend in. You know, Max Waters, do we know whether he was a rough diamond or not? Well, you know, people are starting to think, maybe. Didn't look like he could cut it when he first came in. But also, give people time to, you know, mature into the squad, into the area, into the integrate into the schools. It's a big thing, you know? It's a big thing. So, listen, I'm not getting carried away with a few wins. I mean, I'm just saying it's fantastic because we're going in the right direction, but it's going to take a collective of, you know, hierarchy, the boys in charge, Mark and Steve, to come together and create something that in 3 years' time is going to be challenging, right?
Just to go back on the topic of January, do you think there'll be any departures in January? Or do you think there should be?
Listen, there's a few players I would, if they wanted to go, I'd let them go. No problem, honestly. And like I said, Bran, that would free me up to bring in players. And I guarantee I'd be able to bring in players on less money than what those are going out on, right? And they'd probably be better footballers, in my opinion, or I wouldn't be bringing them in, right? So there might be a one or two gambles, but ideally we need players for the here and now, right? So, you know, if you're going to gamble on someone, you know, lower leagues, League Two, you know, National League, bring them in. They're going to need a bit more time to get into Championship football than, you know, say someone you're signing from the Premier League on loan or something like that.
I suppose
so
what you
lots
could
to think about.
I suppose what you could be looking at in January, in terms of departures, would be that we've got a lot of. You know, more established players out of contract in the summer, obviously. And if teams are desperate in a certain position, I don't know, centre back, and we've got Flint and Morrison who are quickly running out of contract, we may not have tied them up by January. You might be getting quite cheeky low bids in for players like that. But okay, they probably could pick them up for free in the summer, but you know, a 500 grand for a Morrison or a Flint, that just because they need them now. Which will certainly test the board into what they want to do with those players, really, because...
Oh, well, you sell them. If you're the board, you sell them.
Yeah.
If they're not in your future...
Would you sell Morrison?
If they're not in your future plans beyond... Or the manager's future plans beyond the summer, if you can get 500 grand for him now, of course, absolutely sell him. Absolutely. Would I sell Morrison? I'd sell anybody at Cardiff.
No one's safe.
No one is safe, mate. You can't be an unsuccessful team and think, oh yeah, I'm all right, Jack. No. If you're scoring 30 goals a season every season, listen, you're all right, Jack. Right? Right? If you're my keeper and you keep 15 clean sheets a season, you're all right, Jack. If you're my two centre halves and as a pairing or as soloists, you know, when you're in the team, our win rate percentage goes up by 25%. You're all right, Jack.
Stop saying if Jack. Midfielder, this is a and, Cardiff City podcast. Come on.
Yeah, you're all right, Jim. And if you're a midfielder and you've got like 15 assists, you're all right, Jim. Right. So yeah, I don't think there's anyone who's irreplaceable in our team at the moment. You know what I mean, I don't think anyone's playing well enough to be saying, you know, we can't let him go. And I think the club have shown their intentions with Steve Morris, with Sean Morrison. You know, otherwise, sign him. You know, if he's club captain and what have you, sign him. That takes away any sort of doubt from anyone. You know what you're doing next season. You know who's going to be team captain next season. You can start to say, right, do we want this player? Do we want that player next season? The whole, like I said, it's a huge job. Make no bones about it. 12, 13 players going out, and you're going to probably bring 9 or 10 in as replacements. Now, those 9 or 10 players, listen, it's difficult, you know, and it might not be something that will gel automatically. I think the good thing is that you're going into the end of the season. If you bring them in January, you go to the end of the season, if they're permanent, and then you've got the pre-season to work with them. But then pre-season, is it going to be Sean and Mark? Or are we going to bring in another manager? You know, and this is, again, we always come back to the same thing. This is where the club need to get their shit together and say, this is our philosophy. This is how we're going to play. This is how we want to play. And then the management come in, which fit that. You can't go the other way.
So, interestingly, our opponents on Saturday, Sheffield United, got rid of their manager in the week.
Yeah, Jokanović, wasn't it?
Jokanović. And they've appointed the under-23s manager, Paul Heckingbottom, who you'll remember was Leeds manager briefly at Hibs, at Barnsley. He was under-23s at Sheffield United. They've appointed him this week, much like we've appointed our under-23 manager, and they've given him a 4-year contract.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's huge because where they are, languishing in the league, they are more likely to go down again, Sheffield United, right? And he's been there before. He had temporary charge of them after Wilder went, right? He was into him for a while. So, hey, listen, if it works, it works. Great. One of my old teams. But I think there is something to be said of freshening things, right? Completely freshening things. Because there'll be certain players at the club will have their opinions of him already because they've worked with him already.
Yeah.
He's worked there already, right? Sometimes you need that change, that brand new face, fresh ideas, fresh training sessions, you know, every day something different. I think, you know, to digress, that's why Fergie was so successful for so long, because he would change his number two every 2 or 3 years, right? Which means, right, new training sessions, new ideas, blah, 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 blah. And it just keeps it fresh all the time. So, not a bad appointment by Sheffield United, but, you know, again, a lot of these younger managers coming through with ideas. But let me tell you, like, winning the championship is fucking tough, mate. I tell you, it's a tough league to win. It's a tough league to get out of. You know, very tough. Very. Probably the toughest league to win.
Yeah,
outside of the Premier League.
Yeah, just a funny one with Heckingbottom, because he seems to have been around forever, not hugely successful. So I was surprised that he was under 23's manager. And then he gets given like a Alan Pardew style contract. It's like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, look forward to giving him a slap on Saturday then in his first game.
Let's not talk too soon.
Okay.
Let's not get too excited.
Listen. Two teams not in form.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Two teams not in great form, so...
Two patchy teams.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anything could happen. Anything could happen. And, you know, we are fast approaching that middle of the season, half season. So what have we got? I think 3 games after Sheffield.
Yeah.
And that's it. We're halfway point.
You know, we've like traditionally been shit in December as well over the last few years. We've had bad Decembers, bad Christmases. We can't afford it.
We did when we got promoted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can't, you know, we always get slapped on New Year's Day as well. So you hung over, going somewhere, thinking we're not even knowing where you are because you're so pissed still. You know, shipping 4, 5, 6 in places. So, but this season we can't afford that really. We've got to pick up some wins.
And that's the point I made a few weeks ago. You can't just think, oh, we've won 2 or 3 games. Oh, yeah. Because you lose 2 or 3 games, you drop back into the same position you were, right? You got out of. So it's important, like 3 wins in 5, you know, 4 wins in 7 sort of thing, 5 wins in 9, you know what I mean? But you've got to keep winning, you know, every 3 or 4 games, you've got to chuck a win in there and pick up a point as well. So he can't go. I mean, that run, that block under Mick McCarthy will basically shadow us for the rest of the season.
Oh, of course.
Right? That is the problem with it when you go that long without winning a game or picking up points. It then follows you like a ghost, like the ghost of Christmas past, right? It's going to follow you with the side all around freaking for the rest of the season, ready to just chop your legs, right?
Yeah, I think...
So it's important that we keep going. I always allude to... Sorry, Dan, I always allude to the Warnock promotion. You just said we had a poor Christmas. We did that year, but it was because start of the season, we'd had that 5-6 wins on a bounce. So it gave you plus winning in between. It gives you that breathing space. I think we were poor and we still ended up fourth or joint third, something like that.
Second, wasn't it? Year. Second we finished under Warnock.
No. Over the Christmas period.
Yeah.
We went from second. I might have even been top for a while. And we ended up fourth, still in the playoffs, after a woeful Christmas.
Yeah.
Right? Because our early season form had been so good, it carried us to have... Because you're going to have a bad run of games during the season, but you don't want that run to become 10 games. You want to keep it to 4 or 5 minimum, maximum. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think we've already had that run as well. That's the thing. We have no breathing space anymore, and we've mentioned this before.
Yeah.
We've done it like that. We've had it now.
Yeah.
We've done
and a sobering note... If it wasn't for Reading and Derby's points deductions, we'd be in the relegation places now.
Yeah.
We would be in the relegation places. So, look,
that's massive, actually.
We're lucky that two other clubs have been found guilty of wrongdoing.
But they've got to get their shit sorted, man.
Well, look, I think
we might even be saying the same at the end of the season. Like, we might stay up and it might just be because of the points reduction.
Yeah, Derby would...
Because at that point, because we can't have another bad run of games. We've had our bad run of games. Imagine we have another one or two.
Yeah, Derby would be on...
Because it could happen. It could easily happen in the Championship and you can't let that happen in the Championship.
Derby would be on 22, i.e. above us. Reading would be on 26, above us. So, we would be in the relegation places. So,
yikes.
Thank God EFL is getting their...
Getting their shit sorted.
Yeah.
As I said.
But look,
so what the fans saying, Dan? What the fans saying? Because I obviously I don't do social media, but I hear from time to time, Rob Phillips was telling me, you know, fans' reaction was very positive towards Steve and Mark. Mark especially, and that's kind of my worry is that if Steve doesn't do so good, if it goes a bit pear shaped, is then Mark next in line, and when do we get to the point of actually being part of a plan?
Yeah. So look, the fans on social media have been and message boards have been overwhelmingly positive about Morrison. Same about Hudson, but you know the fact that Morrison's changing the style, he's blooding the youngsters. It's been overwhelmingly positive. He's got a lot of support. Even the press conference, which we'll go and answer a question or two about now, you know, despite the fact that Morrison might think fans are on his back a little bit, getting booed at the last home game, you know, the reaction of the away fans, and we've spoke about why away fans are like that, is really what it's like on social media. So we've got a lot of questions. So let's have a look where we go. Okay, so here's a nice one from Alex James.
AJ, I like that. See what I've done there? AJ. Like that.
Alex James is also the guitarist in the band Blur. I don't think it's him. Why can we do it away but not at home?
Like I said, I don't think, like you said, Dan, we could have been 4 down at Preston.
Yeah.
And this is what, like, and I don't care that fans just think about the win, right? I don't. I look and think to myself, well, on another given Saturday, we could be sat here, right, having lost to Hull, lost to Preston, lost to Huddersfield on another given day. We could be, because we're not in great shape. I don't think the form has turned that much. I just think we were, like I said, we were so bad and so lacking in confidence that once we started getting some sort of organisation and started trying to knock the ball around a bit, it was going to improve. You know, as a footballer, when you're down there and your confidence is shattered, there isn't anyone who's going to be able to pick you up. You have to be able to physically do it yourself. It doesn't matter what the manager says, right? Because when I run over the white line, the manager is not booing me or saying to me to get my ass going or calling me shit if I miss the chance, right? 20,000 people are. So it doesn't matter. Like, the manager can't help in that situation. So where we were, for me, it was only the players that are going to get themselves out of that situation. And in fairness, I think they have. And I think Morrison, you can give him credit for saying we haven't changed the style. It kind of, I seen us against Hull the other day. The style hadn't changed at all, right? But in other games, for 10 minutes here or 45 minutes there, clearly, you know, I watched this against Stoke. First half, woeful. Second half, like a different team, right? So, like I said, that inconsistency you're going to get between now and the end of the season. But if we can go more consistent towards playing better football, then and move up the table, that'll give a lot of people a lot of confidence. Because I think, I'll be honest with you, even the long ball merchants in our team, I think they got fed up with the long ball we were doing. I think it just became so, like,
natural.
Yeah. Just all we seem to do is, like, defend and then have an attack when there's a free kick or a long throw-in or a corner.
It's the progression bit, though, isn't it? I think that's why you've seen a lot of excitement out of the fans and a lot of excitement out of, you know, Steve Morrison's interviews when he's talking about playing football. Is that we haven't had a manager speak about actually playing football and changing the philosophy since, I don't know, can you give me one? Since they said, right, we're going to change the football.
Trollop.
Whether we're seeing the change... Trollope, would you say?
Yeah. Trollope was the last one. Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with that. But you haven't seen it in a while, so I think that's why you're seeing a lot of excitement out of the fans.
Mm.
And you are seeing, like you just said, a little glimpse of that progression, of that improvement. Yeah. I just hope that we can just keep the progression going, like carrying on for the season.
Yeah, bit by bit, and it allows us to pick up points on the way, right? Yeah,
and not just that, it allows us to change this mentality that McCarthy and Warnock has brought in and throughout the club. And you're going to see a lot of the young players that are coming through, which Morrison has brought through, to sort of play with that mentality.
Mm.
And you know what I mean? And now, especially going into next season, that's why I think this summer is so massive, because there's going to be a lot of people coming out, a lot of people coming in, and all the people coming in, they're going to be feeding off how we're going to play and coming into this new, I hope this new style of play. And hopefully all the youngsters would have adopted to that by now.
And in fairness, I have to give Mick some credit because he did play. It was Reuben Caldwell.
Yeah,
these players come through. I think Harris brought through Mark Harris. So, you know, you can't just say...
Oh, yeah, of course.
Know, it's not all Morrison's... down to Steve Morrison.
No, it's not at all, no.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about it's the positive change of play.
Absolutely.
Riffing off what Brandon's saying there about players coming in, do we become a more attractive proposition to players? You know, often players are going to have a couple of clubs in for them.
Yeah.
And now they realise...
I think
realize,
to like the 22-year-olds.
Yeah, you know, now they realise, if I go to Cardiff, I might not just be watching the ball sail over my head. Or
100%,
I have to play with my back
Dan.
To goal
again. 100%. Why do you think we've signed the players we've signed? It's not coincidence. We've signed a similar type of player. We've got a midfield, right, who we've got more... In my opinion, more creativity in young Isaac Davis and, say, I don't know, Reuben Caldwell than we've got in our three senior central midfielders or four seniors. Now, Joe Rawls is not a creative midfielder, so to speak, but he looks creative amongst Bakuna, Pack and Volks. And it's not having a dig, boys. You've signed for a club and you've come... No, and we're going to play a certain way, and you play a certain way. I'm not knocking them, right? That's what they do. But it's not what I like to see us do as a club, right? So what's happened is we've signed players into a certain philosophy, right? We fall into a philosophy that we don't want, never did, right? And now fans are now realising, actually, we've been shit for years. When did this happen? It happened, like... In plain sight, basically, you just didn't see it.
Well, the success masks it, doesn't it? You know, yeah.
Absolutely, right? But the success was near playoffs, near promotion. And in, like, because we've only had two promotions in 11 years of this ownership. I say only, you know, two promotions is good because it's hard to get promoted. But it's then sustaining that where you then look at the plan and realise the philosophy is non-existent, right? Because it's allowed to change no matter who the manager is, rather than the manager, if you don't fit into this philosophy, you're gone. Simple as.
Right, a question, loads of questions, as I say, but something just sparked off something for me then. So bear with me. I'm going to ask the question, which is from Gaz Frost.
Frosty
the Jack Snowman Frost. Coming up in a...
Don't say Jack again.
Gareth's a long-time listener, always sends us in great questions.
All right, Gazza.
So I'm going to add something on to Gareth's question. So he's asking about what do you think, Nathan, about the fans booing, about Morrison's press conference in Hull and Luton being superb. Like you've said, Nathan, it's going to take years. Morrison has the right plan and ideas. Do you think these fans are new age fans and don't get what being a City fan is like? Talk about that one first, but then I've got another question about booing. Go on. What do you think?
What one do you want me to talk about first?
About booing. What do you think about the fans booing?
I mean, listen, shit happens. If you're a player, take it on the chin, right? Like when I was like 18, 19, I would have got upset about it. By the time the year I left Cardiff, like, well, you didn't get booze because we just had a fantastic promotion and we were on a roll and we were playing some great football under Eddie May, right? So you didn't get booing. But I've been there prior to that where you get booze. And as a kid, it did upset me, yeah. You went home upset. You go out Saturday night in Lloyd's in Cardiff or Cha-Cha's or Tom Tom's and the fans would be, oh, unlucky today, young kid, you know, you'll be all right there. So it's not hateful. It's not meant because I guarantee you they could boo you in the 89th minute. You score a winner in the 90th or an equaliser, they will go off their head, right? They won't boo you off. There'll be a raucous, a clap that you'll and cheer you off the pitch, right? So what I would say is don't get hung up on it. If you're Steve Morrison, you've been in the game a long time. You've got a lot of experience. Understand. But understand their perspective. They've, you know, it's not a young fan or an old fan thing. I think people in general are a lot less patient now than they were 5 years ago, right? 10 years ago. That's just the world we live in. Everything's sped up. We want it yesterday. And we can get it yesterday if we want it nowadays, right? But certain things are always going to take time. If you're walking from here to London, it's going to take a certain amount of time, no matter what you do. In 10 years' time, you're not going to be able to walk that in 10 minutes. The humans just aren't going to ever be capable of doing that, right? You understand my analogy, right? Some things just take time.
I live for these analogies.
I live for them.
You haven't seen the invention I'm cooking up, have you?
So rebuilding our club to what we want it to be is going to take time. But that's why I've said on this podcast specifically, where are we going? What are we doing? If the owner's here for another 10 years, well, you've just had a 10 years on what not to do, but those little glimpses of success in there, take little snippets out of those successes, because neither of them were the Cardiff way, if you understand Cardiff City, and build on that and add that to your up-and-coming sort of philosophy. It takes time, Dan. Right, that's what I would say. Don't worry about the booing if you're Steve Morrison. Don't worry. If you're sat eighth in the Premier League like Brighton and you get booed off the pitch, then you got a problem.
So I was going to ask you about Bakuna. You know, Bakuna often gets booed, particularly when he goes off. And I was just going to ask if you'd ever suffered it, or players, you know, teammates had, and how they took
me.
You've just told us you were booed. Collectively, though, Nath, obviously, they would never do anything to you.
I was probably, not personally me, just like the team. You know, because when I first came into Cardiff City, the team was struggling and we went down. And I come in with about, I think it was 12 games to go, 13 games to go, maybe 15 games to go. Made my debut, then a few sub appearances, and then started playing with about, I think it was about 6 or 7 games to go, I was starting. But in that period, like when I was coming on, I wasn't getting booed because I was a kid and I was exciting. And people thought, oh, yeah. But when we're walking off and we lost, we get booed. but I'm part of that team, yeah. So you get booed. So, you know, you do, but you understand it's upsetting, but you're upset partly because, you know, you've upset your fans because you haven't played well enough. And you know you haven't played well enough, right? It's no good fooling yourself. It's different if you have a worldie, you lose 1-0, you've played brilliantly, popped them off the park, missed like 10 chances, and you come off and the fans start booing you, right? I think that's harsh, right? But understand as well, you know, they're frustrated. They've had a bad week at work. They're coming in.
Certain players become bellwethers for frustration, don't they? And
Bakuna is one of those, isn't he?
Well, Bakuna, for me, I've never seen a player come as a midfielder and then end up in playing so many different positions.
Yeah.
He's a senior pro. I don't think that's helped him at all. You know, where are you and what do you do? And then, right, this is the position you're going to play. All right, yes, we know you can cover it right back or cover as a 10, but listen, you're not. And we're not good enough centrally midfield for any centre midfield to say, oh, he's a guaranteed starter.
Mm.
All right, so what are you first and foremost? And nail your spot down. You know, you've got the ability to be one of Cardiff's, if not Cardiff's, main best midfielder, box to box.
Yeah.
But you're not showing it. So you're going to get booed. You know, don't take it personal. Pick your shit up. Start playing well. Scoring a few goals. Creating a few assists. You'll get carried off. Fans will carry you off, mate. I'm telling you. That's the way it is, mate. So for me, it's... Listen, I wouldn't say that encourage any fan to boo their team or a team player, but it's part and parcel, Dan. This shit happens, mate. So, you know, I'm not that sensitive. I was when I was 18, but not now.
Okay, look,
you're not fooling no one here, Nave, don't worry.
Got it, yeah.
You're not fooling no one.
He's got a sensitive side, I reckon. Watching a little rom-com on a Friday. With the missus,
yeah.
Weeping away.
Yeah, absolutely. Love all that.
All right, we're going to go nostalgia now with a couple of questions because we love looking back as well. I found this a tough question, and it's from Steve Gwatkin, who I think is a listener in Canada.
Ooh. Oh, I love it, Stevie Watkin from Canada. I've got family in Canada. I think I've told you before, I've got family in Canada. But hey. We'll move on.
We'll do a show in Vancouver. That'd be good. So look, great question. Nice. What's the best goal you've seen scored against the City? Really good question. And he mentions Marco Gabbiadini, who a bit before Brandon's time used to play for Northampton, blonde striker, saying he always used to score worldies against us. And there's a YouTube clips of his 10 best goals, and two of them are against us. So look, I'll start you off while you think, because it's a tough question. But I was just thinking about it then, and a couple of stick out were we played Southampton.
A boy from Millwall.
Oh, with Jed Wallace, that free kick on Boxing Day, was it? Yeah, that was a great free kick, wasn't it? I think it's about 95. We played Southampton in whatever the League Cup was called then, and Letizia scored two goals at Ninian Park. And they were just classic Matt Letizia, you know, volleys, dribbles, whatever he did.
Yeah, it's hard because I can't remember my own goals, Dan, right? And when someone says, remember the opposition's goal against you, right? You might at the time someone score a world and you might go, oh, that was a good goal. But you're not I wouldn't be stood on the wing going, oh, that was a good goal.
I'd probably
be either sulking that we're losing 1-0 or 2-0 or whatever, or you know, they've come back to 2-1, whatever. You're having a massive ruck with Surly for letting his runner go, or Pez is like having a fucking ding dong with, like, I don't know, midfielder for letting a runner go, or Paul Ramsey is. Or, so, you know, you see the goal, it goes in, but you don't really rate it. You just have a big row with your mates, right? That's I'm just giving you the insight from a player's perspective. You're not, there's very, few times that you'll go, oh, wow, what a goal. But even if you did go, wow, what a goal, then at some point you could have stopped that goal.
Yeah.
So if it could have stopped from their keeper rolling out to their right back, we'd all just fucking run at Cohen and say, fuck, close the right back, that left, the left back down, or run at me saying, Blakey, you got to do better with the right back or whatever. So it's difficult to say, but that boy, I remember him scoring a couple against us. I think he scored a free kick, and I think he scored another one with his right foot at Ninian Park, which was a good goal, which stood out at the time. But I was on comms and thought, yeah, that was a good goal.
Well, I would have, so Letitia for me, I'd have liked to have thought Jed Wallace would have been a player Neil Harris would have brought, but he never did. So look, if you're listening and you can think of any goals that stood out for you, that you gave a little clap in your little seat or when you stood up, when really you should have been booing. Instead of booing your own players, fans, come on, sort yourselves out. Just let us know.
Yeah, send them in.
Tell us, send
City's,
them in.
City's top 10 best goals against.
Conceded.
As if we're not depressed enough at the moment. Well, we're not.
Merry Christmas,
get my Mick McCarthy head off. Like, right, okay, look.
I know.
Last question is from Gary Gravity.
That's a wicked
name. That's a great name.
That's a wicked
name. Again,
and to be fair, he keeps his feet on the floor, our Gary, all the time.
What's the question?
Move on, Dad. Okay.
You can book me anytime.
What's your favourite Bluebirds era? So it could be one you played in, watched, experienced, or one you heard about and revealed.
And someone said it to me the other day, right? They still love the 93 season. They still love that season. And I love that era because what I can say is when I come from Chelsea to Cardiff, before making my debut, we were a very patchy team. Chris Pike was like the god of the team when I came. And then I made my debut under Len Ashurst. And we used to get about 3,500, Dan.
Maybe, yeah.
In Indian Park, 3,500, which would probably decrease on a rugby international day. We'd go down to like 2,800 and stuff like that, I remember. But by the time, fast forward 4 years, three seasons, we're now getting 22,000 at home to Shrewsbury.
Madness.
So to watch that growth, we just missed out the year Eddie Newton came. Eddie May had signed Eddie Newton and Jerry Harrison. We just missed out on promotion that season. And then the following season, we actually won promotion. So that progression, year upon year upon year, is what we're talking about, right? That's funny you should say that. We've come full circle. It's what we were talking about earlier, is watching us grow and watching the fans. Like at the moment, they're saying 18,000, 17,000. I think it was about 12 in the other night.
Yeah, right. they count the season tickets.
In that whole game.
Right.
I couldn't believe how empty it was.
But when you see us, or when you see Wales play Belgium the other day, and Belarus was it?
Yeah.
Before that, and you see that stadium at full capacity, mate, and I've seen it like that for us a couple of times at full capacity, never with a good footballing team, though, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right? Where our fans feel we can go toe-to-toe football-wise with these. I'm not talking your Man City's, even though we beat them, or Liverpool's, or, you know, Chelsea's. I'm talking your Watford's, you know, teams will go up, your Bournemouth's, your Fulham's, you know, your Everton's. You know, we should be thinking to ourselves in future, yeah, you know, we're amongst that. We're in the elite, but we're amongst that. And I think, you know, like I say, coming full circle, that's where we need to get back to.
Yeah. Brand, your favourite era watching City?
When I was four. 6 years ago.
No, I have to say. I'm going to have to say the first promotion. Because really, because at the age I was, do you mean, you're just starting to understand football and it'd have to be that. And like the set of players we had. I still got a plaque in my room now. And I got every single player on it with a promotion. Even though we were in red.
Is that Warnock's promotion? Warnock's promotion?
No, Malky's promotion. The first one. I'd say the first one. Just so we still had wits as well. Do you know, we still had a few players that I like was there for a few years, and like I've watched since I was really young. And do you know what I mean? And it was a big, obviously, it was a massive moment. Yeah. And then I was there the day when we got promoted against Charlton that day. And we got an everyman on the pitch. Do you know what I mean? I was only young. I was only like 11.
Oh,
at the time.
Amazing time!
So it was like,
it?
Oh, it's like the best thing ever. I think I was in the Canton at the time, and I was with my uncle, and then we went straight down. And because my uncle just seen everyone run down, he just picked me and just chucked me down a few rows just so I can get ahead of everyone and get onto the pitch. So yeah, I'd probably say that season, that era.
Yeah, special.
How about you, Dan? Well, look, how about you?
Obviously 93, because I was, you know, a little bit older than Brad. I would have been about 12 in 93. I was ball boy, so I felt part of it, you know. But I'll go that, you know, the 2008 FA Cup run, you know, I never, ever thought... I'm getting tingles now talking about it. I never thought that I would see Cardiff City in an FA Cup final. And I did. You know, the quarter-final against Middlesbrough, the fifth or sixth round, whatever it would have been, against Wolves, the, you know, Hereford, Chasetown, semi-final against Barnsley. Just being in an FA Cup final. Yeah, I'm tingling now talking about it. You know, that's what I'll think of when I'm, you know... old and grey in my nursing home on Mars, wherever we're all living then, in space. But yeah, that was a special one. So yeah, great question. Look, I think one thing to just throw in now, I know we're, no, I'll wait, because I think we're going to, Nathan's running order is going to take us.
Yeah, let's have a bit of mint or moan. Let's get on to Mohammed's mint or moan and see what he's saying this week. So... let's have a listen.
Hello, Swazzers. Welcome to another Mint or Moan. And today, it's a bit of mint on a bit of Swazz after that brilliant 2-1 win at Luton Town on Saturday. Delighted for Sean Morrison. For me, he's got to start the games. True servant of the club. Knows what Cardiff City means to us as fans. Him and Rolsey, perhaps the only two in that side who know what it really means to pull on the blue shirt. So well done, Sean. That can't be easy not being in the side. But fantastic header as well. Gets in those positions. Absolutely brilliant. And to all the fans who went to Luton Town, I mean, look, we're lingering near the bottom of the Championship and we sell out our away allocation on a Saturday for Luton Town. So if you went, fantastic support. Keep it up. But absolutely brilliant from Steve Morrison. Keep it going, Steve. That's all I can say. Fantastic. Only a couple of points off the playoffs. Come on, the City. Gotta go. Elvis tribute act to go to tonight. I'm rehearsing for The Wonder of You. See you soon. Love you.
Respect to Jason for singing on Children in Need the other night as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. Can you send me a clip, please?
Yeah, don't tell him you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it yet. I don't do social media, do I? So it's probably all over social media. So if you can clip it down and send it, and then I can absolutely nail him next time I see it.
I think we all know Jason is dying to go on Strictly Come Dancing next year, isn't he?
He's coming.
Gagging.
He's coming.
You could never, ever get me on that program simply because of the social media commitments.
Yeah.
Like, dancing's hard enough, right? But then can you imagine someone saying to you, like, every 2 minutes, oh, you know, you got to post this. And you got, I'd be like, oh, do me a favour.
Think of all the, I don't think do of social all the media. Extra listeners Swaz would get, though, if you were on Strictly Come Dancing.
I know, that
you gotta
true.
Think
if
of,
I
was on Strictly. You've got to think of us, not just
that
you.
That was true. You got to think of us.
Okay, I take it back. Strictly, give me a call, man. And I'm only in it to win it. I tell you that, right? I'm in it to win it.
Contact my people.
Yeah, contact my peeps. I got a few moves, you know.
I can teach you a few next
time. Yeah. Little foxtrot, little two-step. Oh, I two-step anyway from back in the day. Yeah, I do my little two-step.
Comes out of Strictly, just two-step.
Yeah. I'll be telling Craig, what are you on about, Craig? You don't know about two-step. Shut your shit.
Well, Nathan.
Anyway, we digress, fellas. We digress. Let me just say, remember, we're at Swaz Pout on the Twitter and Facebook. So like, love us, share, comment. Most importantly, subscribe. So I know we paid respects to him last time, but it was lovely to see Joe Ledley pitch side for Cardiff City at the Cardiff City game the other night, just taking his round of applause and his bowing out at the stadium. Lovely to see. Do you know what I was going to say to the... I don't really chat to the media people, but do you know, like, when... like, we'll talk next about Frank Burrows and what our fans think and say about him. But I'd love to see when, like, Joe Lely retiring, a clip up, like a 5 minutes of his, 3 minutes of his best moments at Cardiff City. Do you know what I mean? Give us some nostalgia. Put it on the TV. Yeah, put it on
give,
the
give him
screen.
A mic. Then yeah. speak. I thought it was nice. Obviously, it's nice to see him do it, and it's a, you know, you don't see the club do stuff like that. But
that's right, Brand. And this is what I say about the club. It's because they've lost their soul.
The disconnect.
They've lost their soul. So, you know, it's great if it's great having Joe there and just, you know, wave and then thanks Joe, off you pop. But you're right. Give him a mic. Let him talk about his experiences. Give him a little interview on the pitch. You know, it only has to be a minute or two. A little video of some of his best goals for Cardiff. I think they miss a trick. They do it, but it's almost like without sort of a feeling of... It's almost like, oh, okay, we got to do it. Rather than, this player was a legend for our club.
Yeah.
Look at some of the goals he scored. Look at some of the games he played in. I tell you what.
Remember this game? Remember
that? Yeah. And I think, none of that. Right, let's clip this up and put it out there. And I tell you what, we'll put it on the Cardiff City TV. Just that many fans would just come on just to have a look at a clip of his best 20 goals for Cardiff or 15 goals for Cardiff or something. I think they missed a trick there, the club. What did we think? Having Joe at the ground. Nice to see him, right?
Yeah, I just felt sorry he had to sit through that shit show against Hull, to be honest.
I know, and it was half-filled stadium as well.
Yeah.
It would have been nice if he, you know, made a proper one. Like, I seen him over there. There was hardly any fans knew he was over there.
Yeah.
When I was in the canton. Yeah. I was like, oh, Joe Lely.
You don't.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There was no Cardiff City, ex-player.
You don't know because
you're... Do you know what I mean? It was none of
you're
that.
In the bar before the game and you've just come up just as the game kicks off, so you've got no clue.
No.
Yeah, but if they said before the game, warming up and stuff like that, we'll have Joe Lely at halftime for an interview and put that, you know, put it out there, put posters up, you know, a one-minute interview, two-minute interview on the pitch halftime, you know... You either go and get your pie and pint earlier, or you miss it for this game, didn't you? Because you want to be, you know, that's a tribute that the fans would pay him. So, you know, little tip for Cardiff City. I know they listen, and we're forever giving them advice, forever and ever and ever. But when legends decide to hang up their boots, and their local Cardiff boys especially, you know, don't just, hello and goodbye them. You know, give him something, you know? And I hope to see, whatever he chooses to do, I think he'll be successful, but I'd love to see him go into the academy and work there because, you know, that's talent that you can't afford to let go. You know what I mean? He's got knowledge that you need if you're Cardiff City right now. You need it. And that's where I think the hierarchy should be taking decisions and saying, you know, that's not a manager's decision or a coach's decision. That is right. No, we know, and this is the place for him.
The sad thing is, we just know it's not. the chances are happening.
Well, listen, if we speak about it, Brand, maybe it happens.
Manifest it. Right. Yeah, manifest.
Visualise the victory.
Maybe it happens. Yeah. And moving on, we go to another Cardiff City legend, Frank Burrows. The tribute to him. Had a picture of him with his flat cap. But again, I would love to see some of those games, because I was commentating, right? And I was thinking, oh, right. We're going to have, Joe's on the pitch half time. Okay, they must be doing the clip up of Frank and some of the old, like, 80s games and stuff like that. I was thinking, oh, yeah, I'll have a bit of this, have a cup of tea half time and have a watch. And there was nothing. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, where's your imagination, people?
So, Frank,
do you know what I mean? Who's in charge of, like.
No, it's innovation. Where's imagination, innovation.
Yeah.
So, he would have been the manager at my first ever game. So, Brandon was talking about winning promotion when he was a kid. So, my first ever game was against Crewe in 88. And it was a promotion party. We beat Crewe 2-0. Everyone runs on the pitch. Frank Burrows is manager. So, yeah, really fond memories of him. And then he came back in the late 90s and wins promotion again. So, Nath, so he wasn't at the club when you would have been a youngster in 88, I suppose?
No.
You were, no, were you not back from Chelsea then, were you?
You were still at Chelsea at that point.
Well, I was a 16-year-old kid. I was at Chelsea. So,
but you've got memories of Frank, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got a great memory of Frank. Frank actually came and knocked my front door in Ringland when he was
really.
Yeah, when he was at Swansea. I'm gonna let the cat out of the bag. I respected him for, like, he's a tough cookie because coming into Ringland, they no joke, man. There's certain estates you just don't walk into, right? But fair play to him. He came into Ringland and I remember being in bed. I think it was like a Saturday morning, Sunday morning. It was like between the season had finished, like, so it's summertime. And my mum, like, I'm still living. Oh, my mum, it's a strange man at the door. So I was like, huh?
Nathan probably thought it was the police.
I did. I was like, what's he look like? And she was like, oh, well, he's got a bit of an accent, like a flat hat on. He's quite tall. I was like, is he black or is he white? She's like, white guy. And I was like, I don't know who that is. Nothing to do with me. She was like, well, he's saying he's from Swansea. I was like, so I get dressed, go downstairs, open the front door. It's Frank Burrows stood there trying to get me at that point because I'd only signed like a year at Cardiff and then a year again because they were out of order like that a bit, the club were. That's when, you know, you could take advantage of your youngsters rather than see them as your future. Yeah, trying to coax me to go and sign for the other side, you know. It was like Darth Vader, right? Saying to me, come on, young Luke, together we'll be stronger. And I was like, Frankie boy, listen, like you, respect you and all that as a man and a manager, but you drunk. I could never go out in Cardiff for the rest of my life. My whole family would just disown me. They're all Cardiffians. Like, my mum would say, are you going to sign for Swansea? Yeah, well... When you do, just move out and don't come back, okay?
There'll be no tea tonight. Yeah, There'll be no tea tonight.
And make sure you move south of Bridgend because I'm going to tell the whole family, if you come back across that line, you're dead.
So when was it then, Nate? There was, what kind of year would that have been?
Well, let's see. I think I played a year at Cardiff. I think it might have been between the year... Len Ashes left and Eddie May came.
Got you, yeah.
Yeah, and I had played a year at centre-half, which I hated. I detested it, all right? Never played centre-half in my life. And, like, Pezza used to be next to me. Like, Pezza stick his face in a freaking blast furnace, right? I wasn't like that. Like, mate, I'm pretty. I ain't stick my face in no football boots. Hell no. I mean, this game, I play football. Give it a ball.
I'm trying to post the picture when I score.
Give it a ball. Give it a ball at my feet. I didn't put my head in for those stupid-ass challenges. Let some other bug do that. So he knew, and the club were like, they kept giving me like, they done a year and then a year, and I think third year. I think I only ever signed one-year deals at Cardiff. And like, it was the days where you could literally take advantage of homegrown young talent if you had them on your books. And I think Frank, being Frank, because he was a wily old fox, wasn't he? Clever guy, very good scout, understood the game brilliantly, could spot a player from a mile away. He thought, I'll just swoop in, you know, do a little deal and swoop out with Cardiff's riches. And, you know, to a weaker youngster... and a youngster who maybe wanted to get his own back,
yeah,
that could have happened, yeah, right? You know, a bit pissed off because I'm not getting, you know, the money I deserve, a bit pissed off because I'm not, you know, club hasn't given me the contract I feel I deserve, because the club was saying a lot to me about this and that and my importance in games and do this and do that and we win. And then at the end of the season, you're thinking, okay, I'll get a decent contract because I want to buy a house. I want to start doing sensible things. And then they go, oh yeah, and here's we're giving you a pay rise. And I'm thinking, yes. Like, right, we're going to move you from 75 quid a week to 120. Like, huh? Can't do nothing with that. Sign-on fees? No sign-on fees. No. So it was like, it was a different era, a different day. But yeah, Frank, he tried it, mate. Wow. He tried it. I always liked him and respected him. But I did think, mate, you were just setting me up for a fall for the rest of my life. Like, do you know what I mean?
Well,
absolutely.
How history could have been different, Nate. City fans know.
I wouldn't have been, mate. I'm Cardiff,
and
that's
not even a possibility anymore. Yeah.
Well, I'm Cardiff, and I'm an Ely boy, raised in Ringland in Newport. But my brothers, my mothers, my aunties and uncles, my grandmother, bloody yeah, she would have disowned me as well. Be no more Welsh cakes. My auntie Udy down his block, there'd be no more freaking Welsh cake or coconut Welsh cake down there. She would have said, no, boy, get away from my front door.
And you wouldn't be doing this podcast with me and Brandon then. You'd be on.
And you wouldn't, most importantly.
Most importantly, there would be no Swaz. Can you imagine?
Most importantly. Never mind the career and the Premier League appearance, the Premier League goals.
No. Well,
the promotions. You wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Well, look, that is a world exclusive on Swaz Pod today. So,
Yeah.
See in Wales online.
Yeah, if someone stayed with us for the hour and a half we've been banging on, they've got a revelation. They've got a revelation right at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's finish up then, right? Let's move on. Big respect to Frank, and a big respect to Joe Ledley as well. Rest in peace. Absolutely, well said, Brandon. Frankie Burrows, great Cardiff man. What I wanted to finish with at the end was the positive. We always try and finish with a positive. And this week, I wanted to say, I'm going to read something to you, right? Isaac Davis, Reuben Colwell, Mark Harris, Chanka Zimba, Tom Sang, Perry NG, Mark McGuinness, Kieran Evans, Joel Bagan, Eli King, Sam Bowen. 10 players who are under the age of 23. Perry NG is 25, but you've got 11 players there, 10 of them under 23 years old. So the future that Steve Morrison has in his hands now, experience, bringing some quality experienced footballers. And I believe with that 11, plus, as we said earlier, there's probably two or three more, we've got what looks like could be championship level, a very high-quality, young squad. Would you agree?
Exciting times, isn't it? Look, one player to add to that, and I know you didn't mention him because he's not our player, but Ryan Giles, who probably won't be here next season, of course, 21. He's just come out today. Someone's done some stats that he's created more chances per minute than any other player in the Championship so far this season. So in 17 games, he's got 9 assists. And, you know, often an assist can just be you pass it to your mate who goes and then scores the goal. Often with Giles, he's finding people with cracking crosses. So he's created a chance every 29 minutes, which is more than anyone else in the Championship. Harry Wilson at Fulham's 37 minutes and he's 29. So, look, he's been in and out of games. He's had bad form at times. Sometimes, I think as his crosses are generally so good, he can have games where he's not, you know, that whole game, he's not even beating the first man on corners. And you're like, come on, because you know he's got the talent. And, you know, 9 assists in 17 games. If he can, get that up to double that again by the time he's reached 38 games, 40 games. Yeah, that's a few more goals. So, yeah, we've got to use him while we've got him, I suppose, alongside those youngsters.
To answer your question, Nath, yeah, I think it's like, that's the only thing I think our club's got right now. Like, that's positive. I know, like, we speak a lot of things and, like, a lot about changing the style of play, but I think it all relies on these players now, because in the next few years, and as we keep talking about this progression and building towards something, they're the integral part of it. And all them Absolutely. Players you mentioned, they're good players. They've been on the, you know, a couple of them have started, well, I say a couple, and more than a couple have started. Many have come off the bench. You know, made an impact and made them a massive impact. And we've got to remember, this is the Championship. This is a hard league to, especially, you know, as a youngster to come in the Championship. It's not easy to make an impact, but they've been doing that. And I just think it's so massive. I just hope, I pray that we handle them in the right way and, you know, don't stunt the growth of these players.
Absolutely.
And most importantly, I hope we don't sell them for nothing.
I would look at that and say that's how the club recover. You recover from a playing perspective, a big, big plus as well. A lot of them play together at 23 and 18 level or under 21 level. So they've got a good understanding of each other's game. They know each other inside out. That's a big plus. But all you need to do basically is add the quality experience, right? Now, quality experience is easier to find these days, right? Because as you've seen from last season, and especially after the COVID hit, there were so many more players available on freeze, right? Which clubs haven't picked up. So if you're intelligent, and this again, when I come back to the recruitment, and you're really scouring the earth, not the UK only, the earth, for quality talent, you can pick up some very good experienced players who are probably 26 to 31. I wouldn't want to go 33, 34-year-olds unless they were super fit and do a certain job for me. But from the age of 26 to 31, there's going to be a plethora of talent out there that you can come, bring, and add to what we've already got and really make an impression. I'm not thinking ahead and just thinking, oh, yeah, next season we'll be quality, because it is a process. But I think those 11 players, and I didn't mention Giles, because he's not our player. And what tends to happen, lone players come in and then they don't sign for us. They go elsewhere, like Harry Wilson, right? Prime example. They go to what I call teams who play more football or play football. Right, but we need to become one of those teams, coming all the way back to your point at the start, where players look at us, Cardiff City, as an attractive proposition to be. Right, great set of fans, that's something that they're always going to know and understand. Great away support, that's big for players, because going into the Lions Den is difficult when you've got, you know, 50 people or 1,000 people. It's a big difference. So it ticks so many plus boxes. But yeah, I just wanted to finish on that positive end, just name, you know, 10, 11 players we've got, which I think will be integral for us in the future. And, you know, are we in? It's funny, because we seem to lack direction from the hierarchy, but all of a sudden we've got this embarrassment of riches, right? Of this crop of youngsters. Right, and Chanka Zimba, I know he got dragged and didn't like feature in the next game or that. I thought that was a bit unkind. What I would say, my advice to Steve Morrison is, you've got, it's no good being a manager of my era, who you sink or swim, you sink, off you go. And I say myself, you might only get one chance. But in this day and age, you've got to give a bit more. And listen, I'm saying behind the scenes, Steve would have, I would have thought, I'm 99% sure, Steve would have taken him aside, looked after him, put his arm around him, told him, don't worry, go back to the 23s, and, you know, you come back a bit when you're a bit more ready. You know what I mean? Maybe towards the back end of the season or something like that.
Hmm. But it's still clear he's a good player. He's been performing for the under 23s and everything. He's a good player. But a lot of our young players as well, and the crop of youngsters we got, which I think this is quite integral about them, is they're all Welsh and they're all local boys.
Absolutely.
Which is not just comes with, you know, playing for their badge and playing for the club. But, you know, a lot of our players, like we've seen Ruben Colwell, are going to get chances in international duty.
Yeah.
And hopefully now, you know, as we get more as a club, I pray that we can just at least become a decent club, and then it could even help the players then get chances internationally, and then they can just grow even more as players.
Well, the flip side to those players being part of a squad for Cardiff, blah, 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 is, okay, in 3 years' time, you sell Ruben Colwell for 25, 30 million quid, right? You're able, if the hierarchy understand the game, you're able to utilise that as your whole rebuilding to get to the Premier League, right? And it might be a case of you sell a different rough diamond or three or four rough diamonds for 10, 15, 6, 8 million quid, and keep your superstar if it's Reuben Caldwell or a Joel Bagan or an Isaac Davis, right? You keep those superstars and you sell the ones who are on the periphery, right? So, you know, what I would say is this should all be part in partial of your planning. And, you know, almost accidentally, they've stumbled upon a crop of players that they had, which I think if certain people would have still been at the club, these players wouldn't have even got a chance. These are the type of players that we were releasing out, and then they were coming back with other clubs like 3 or 4 or 5 years later. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, that is the positive I'd like us to end on, is, you know, we've got 11 players there I've named that, you know, we can look forward to being in a Cardiff shirt for the next 3 to 5 years, I would have thought. And hopefully the progression of the club in that time is 5 years, definitely, to be in the Premier League and sat there, you know, comfortably for a year or two.
Yeah, amen. And Zimba, Sang, Evans, Bagan are all about to kick off for the 23s against Colchester. So,
yeah. Well, good luck to the boys. Good luck to the boys. Okay, let's wrap it up with the top five.
Oh, you're going to be absolutely stunned because I put a top five together. I felt like we needed a bit of diversity.
Let me start then, because I never start.
Come on then.
And I just want to get out of the way.
Go so on, this, go on,
a little dance on. Top five. I'm going to hit you with a Whitney Houston, $1 million bill. A little bit of Diana Ross, I'm coming out. A little bit of Aretha, jump, jump, jump to
you see
it.
Diana Ross is playing in Cardiff Castle next year.
Yeah. I don't know if she's got enough tracks for me to go and have a jig to. And that's maybe more of a sit-down concert with the wife, I think.
Well, look, if you want to give... If Diana Ross is listening, we know she's a football fan. She was part of the USA 94 opening ceremony. If she wants to give some free tickets to the Swaz Pod Boys, we'll either come or we'll sell them on eBay. Yeah, Diana.
Listen, well... Someone on the Swaz is still bumping out her tunes in their car, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm coming out, right? Regular. And number four, D-Train, You're the One for Me. And last but not least, the Gap Band, classic, Outstanding. You got it. Listen to that tune in Lloyd's and Tom Toms and Cha Cha's and back in the day. Before your time, young Brandon.
I can tell.
You're just
tell.
A mere thought. You were just a mere thought, my friend.
A mere thought. I wouldn't even have thought back then.
Right.
It was a possibility.
A nightmare. A future nightmare.
A nightmare.
Go on, then. Let's have it.
Right. Go on. I'll go next. So, look, you know I like to do a theme top five. So what you're going to get from me today is a lot of white guitar music. Sorry, boys. Look, our listeners like all
I like
sorts.
White guitar music.
So,
I like the Eagles and
so
shit.
So first off,
no, I don't
first
sorry.
Off, Paul Weller, The Changing Man. Changing Man.
I love Paul Weller.
That's what.
Style Council.
Morrison's Trying to Be a Changing Man. Then we got The Smiths. These Things Take Time. That'd be a lesson. We got David Bowie with Changes.
A little bit of Bowie, yeah.
Tame Impala, who Australian band, like psych kind of dance.
I know Tame
Impala. The song's called Patience. Yeah, Patience, everyone. And then the Rolling Stones with a song for our young guns, Time Is On My Side.
Okay. Not a bad little top five.
I see the theme. That was good.
Like that.
Always thinking me. See.
That was good.
Come on, B, don't let the side down.
My turn, yeah?
Yeah.
My turn. I never let the side down. I'm going to start off with Power by Kanye West, or Ye West.
Okay.
Goes by these days. Power. I got Under My Sensei by Baron
Under My Sensei Cinnamon. Under My Sensei Cinnamon. Under My Sensei Cinnamon. Under My
So, yeah, I haven't mentioned him in a while.
Yeah.
I thought I'd have to pay some respect.
Yeah, man.
I got Triple S by AJ Tracy. Everyone knows I like a bit of AJ Tracy.
You do.
I do. And then I got Nice For What, Drake.
Okay. From
the Scorpion album.
Okay.
I love that album.
Mm-hmm.
And then how many have I got left? Two, yeah?
One.
The top five, not six.
Come on, Brandon.
Oh, sorry. You can tell I didn't win.
He's greedy, isn't he? He's greedy.
You know me. And then I got All About You by Tupac.
Okay, it's all about
every city we go.
Every other video.
Nathan is dancing here,
I see the same.
More credence to the fact that Nathan should be on Strictly Come Dancing next year. If he can dance to Barrington Levy and Tupac on Strictly, viewers across the country are going to be voting for this man.
I'm there. I'll be throwing up my Welsh signs and everything. Whoa. Wales.
But you would, you'd get a Welsh vote apart from in Swansea, I would have thought, after...
yeah, maybe Wrexham.
Yeah.
Don't forget them as well. They didn't really love me up there either. So remember, we're at SwazPod on the Twitter, on the Facebook. Remember to like, love, share, comment. And most importantly, subscribe. Big shout out to our sponsor once again, Jeff White Motors. Boys, that's a wrap. So it's time to say goodbyes. We'll be back in 2 weeks where we'll be... What have we got? Let's see. We've got Sheffield United, Birmingham, Derby and Coventry over the coming weeks. So, that should take us up to...
Interesting run.
Early Jan.
Bluebirds!
This has been a Jams and Mr. B production.